if I don't get what I need. Ten times it's easy as baking a pie. Falling off a log and live until you die.
Hey, I've been driving all over the town on my cell phone, wearing it out, and I finally tracked you down. Everybody says you're the man, the final piece to my master plan. You got my world in the palm of your hand. Well, I know that you got it, come on and just sell it. Got the cash up in my pocket, you know I gotta get it. Tell the show, hey mister, turn it over, let's go. No, I ain't gonna need a receipt, just make sure that it looks like me, so the bouncer don't call the police. And don't tell my daddy stole the keys to his caddy. Don't dilly dally,
everyone, all of you wonderful people that are listening right now, welcome to the show. This is Luke. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is my show, Elephant Loaf, where I interview a different guest every week. This week we have special guest and my friend Daisy on. Daisy, would you care to introduce yourself however you would like to?
Yes, I am Daisy. I know Luke from 2, which is Tufts Wilderness Orientation, being on staff. And what? Luke was a very good 2 leader.
Oh, well, you are as well. Yeah, it was a very good time. You didn't put any questions on here about your music taste, but like looking through, I mainly saw Noah Kahn and some other things and was wondering if there's any kind of like overlap between... 2 is an idea. I guess we've talked before that you don't have like a lot of wildernessy activities outside of 2. Maybe getting a little bit more that direction, but in terms of like music taste and outdoors, do you feel you have an overlap at all?
Is the implication that Noah Kahn?
I think he is. Okay. That is the. Okay. Yeah.
I would say I go through phases. Mm-hmm. And one big phase is that. It's like kind of like trappy. Like, I don't know how
okay.
to explain it.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost rap, but it's not quite there.
And gotcha.
Then the other phase is like Noah Kahn, like indie luminaries, like
yeah.
that kind of thing. And I'll have like a playlist full of one, and then I'll get sick of it, and then I switch to the other. And so if you go through my Spotify, it just like
there's like, a little bit of whiplash, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm realizing I'm using hand gestures on a radio show, which is maybe not
it's
ideal.
One of those weird things, because when you like to talk with your hands, like a lot of people, including myself, do, and then you get on air, or it's a weird thing. Or you'll try and yeah. point to something or gesture to the windows, or and the audience can't hear, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
To jump to some questions that you've actually selected for tonight, I'm curious about if you've got a book, movie, or show to recommend, or anything else.
Okay. I have two books.
Okay.
One is my, like, always recommended book, and then my other is the one that I finished last night, and I'm really proud of finishing because I've been reading it since, like, June.
Very cool.
So, the first book is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which is
okay.
the first book that I ever read that was kind of philosophical, and it's about this guy, and he's, like, taking his son on a motorcycle trip kind of across the U.S.
or, yeah.
like, across a bunch of highways, I don't totally remember, and he kind of does these really philosophical explorations into, like, what his life is and, like, what his value is to his son and, like, how his life kind of has ended up where it's at. And I wrote all my college essays about it, and then I didn't come to college for philosophy and came to college for engineering, and so then I did a philosophy minor. But, like, it's just, like, it was very eye-opening, and it's a really well-written book, and it's a really good book, and it, like, made me think about things in a new way, and it has like a special like sentimental value to me that like it yeah. wouldn't have to other people when they're reading it, but like I highly recommend it anyways. And then the book I read last night, which makes me sound a lot more intellectual than I am, is The Bonobo and the Atheist by someone like Vanderwall or something.
Okay.
And it's kind of this exploration into like how much morality primates have versus us, and then like if morality is something that can be kind of like innate to us, then is there a difference between a bonobo and an atheist? Because like is there like an aspect where we need like a higher power to give us morality, or like does it come from these innate instincts that are in primates? It's cool.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Is it mostly like was any research on primates done, or is it more of like a thought argument, or both?
It's kind of both. It's definitely like based in a lot of like empirical evidence. It's written by yeah. a primatologist who like originally,
whoa.
I guess he originally wrote a book about like where does our morality come from, and then a lot of people like the response to that book was like religion, and then he was like maybe, but also maybe not, and, like maybe it's innate, and like there's all these examples of like chimpanzees kind of, or, like, lots of primates acting altruistically and kind of working for each other and, like, doing things that they know will reward those around them versus just rewarding themselves. And
yeah.
it's just, like, very cool and interesting to be like, oh, we're not, like, it's, there's this, like, silly thing where, like, I took a class on primate conservation last semester that was, like, a seminar, and, like, we talked at the end a little bit about, like, this idea that we shouldn't call, like, say like humans versus animals, we should just say like non-human animals, because humans are animals, but like
yeah.
that's the idea of like putting us in the separate class, and then all the other animals are something else, but like really it's not. And so it's like a cool way to think about that,
kind of looking at it more almost as a gradient than a binary.
Yeah
Very cool. With both of these books, how did you come across them?
So, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance was my dad. When I turned 16, he was like, you're an adult now. Like, you're a big kid. And so, here's all these books for you. And so, like, that was one of them. And then it took me, like, 4 years to read all of them because I'm a slow reader. And I was also in high school. So, I was like, what do I do with all these books? And so, that was him. And then Bonobo and the Atheist, I just found in a bookstore in Montana this summer that, like, had, like, a staff pick little sticker on it, and I was like, yeah, that looks cool.
Neat. Very yeah. neat. I mean, with talking about Bonobo and the Atheist, you brought in that you were in a climatology class earlier, you talked about philosophy. One thing that you wanted to talk about, which I want to talk about, because you've got a lot of really cool, awesome majors, is what do you study, why do you study it, and how does it all kind of interconnect?
Yes. So, I study my majors are environmental engineering and biology, and then I'm minoring in philosophy. And I came in with the engineering school declared, and then just environmental seemed like the most interesting to me of those. And I realize now that maybe mechanical would have been more interesting to me, but I didn't know what that meant when I got to college. And so I was like, I like the environment. That sounds true. And then I like kind of, I always knew that philosophy was interesting. I wrote my college essays about it, and I was like, okay, I'll take a class on it freshman spring. And it was like interesting enough to me that I was like, like I do want to take more classes in this, just because like it was very different from like the gen eds for the equivalent of gen eds for engineering are very like rote, and it's like, okay, do this calculus, do this like chemistry, know this science, which is like valuable skills and things you need to know, but also there's not a lot of room for like free thought, and like you do get it later in engineering, but like the philosophy like kind of gave the free thought right out the gate. And then I realized that biology, I also took marine bio that spring semester as like a technical elective for engineering, and I was like, oh, like this kind of fills in all the holes in environmental engineering that I kind of have. So like environmental engineering is very abiotic, and it's like, oh, we're testing soil and we're like doing things like that, and like looking at air and water, and those things are cool, but it also was a little bit like, oh, what about, like, why? Why are we doing that? And then it was like, oh, it's all these little animal communities, and that was bio. And so I was like, oh, this is cool, too. And I couldn't, I don't think there is a bio minor at Tufts, so I was like, well, I guess I'm doing the major.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, kudos to you for getting all of it to work together, because I know especially the engineering stuff is very rigid in its guidance.
Just barely got it together, so it, I think if I have to take four classes next semester to have all four work, and only one of them completes my engineering degree, but the other two finish the major and the minor. I feel like most people are coasting at this point, but I like have classes I need to take.
Oh, good luck with that, first of all. with philosophy, you mentioned kind of being interested in it coming to college, and that tied into Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Is that the name of the book?
Yes.
Which is an incredible name for a book.
Yeah.
Did you have, like, any other exposure to philosophy pre-college at all? Like, that wasn't a high school class for me, is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, so it was not a high school. It was purely that book, and then also this podcast called Philosophize This, which is, like, I don't listen to anymore, and I don't really remember what it was about, but it would, like, go through a philosopher and, like, kind of what the context was for their thinking, and then what their thinking was about whatever it is. And that was the kind of initial way that I got into it a little bit, but I really didn't know that much about it. And I remember being really insecure writing my college essays about it, because I was like, oh, they're going to know that I don't know that much about this, which like, it might be true. I haven't read those essays since, but like, oh, well, it worked. Oh, well. I'm here.
I mean, one of those things where you're interested in something, but you don't yet have the background for it, it becomes really hard to talk about whatever that subject is, or at least it is for me, because if I come, I feel like someone's going to be out there who knows a lot about philosophy or environmental or whatever it is, and is going to go, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean,
but maybe it won't be the admissions officers at whatever college I'm applying to.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Feeling another question? Are you feeling songs? What's in your head right now?
Let's do a song.
Sweet. Do you have one in mind? I'm showing you right now different stuff. Sweet. Awesome. So this is Stay by Riz Levy?
Sure.
If I told you, like it when you stay, hey. Can't remember if I told you, like it when you stay. Can't remember if I told you.
wanna stay here safe and stay side by side on a binge. I like it when you say my name. I like it when you stay in case I forget again. Remember if I told you, like it when you say, I'm so happy to know you, cause I feel the same way. I'm not trying to control her, this is how we play. She only wear black or gray.
And we have a very important announcement for everyone.
When visiting a national forest, seeing a black bear can be a thrill. But if the bear rips through your tent for a granola bar, a carefree camping trip can turn deadly.
You can do your part to reduce black bear encounters by storing trash, food, and scented products such as toothpaste in a bear-proof container. Your car's trunk or high in a tree. Learn more online at fs.usda.gov /NFSNC. This message is a public service of the U.S. Forest Service and of this radio station. WMFO, we care about bears and you. And this is one of those situations where I wish radio also had a visual element, because on this PSA, which we have a binder of all of the different scripts for all of the different PSAs in the studio, and this one has been graffitied with, my conservative guess is like 6 bears. I'm not going to count them all right now, but like 6 to 8 bears, all in different art styles.
At least 10 bears.
Very
wrong estimation.
I'm sorry. I don't have the estimation skills on point. It's incredible. There's a person in a tent getting mauled. It's a little disturbing, so I'm gonna stop looking at it. But it's also beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna jump into another question if that's alright.
Okay.
Let's see. Have you seen any weird posters lately? You're the first person to pick this question. This question always has a purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
This question was because the day that I filled out, like, which questions I was like, yes, I was walking to the SEC,
yep,
and I saw a poster outside the SEC, and I thought it was a hole in the wall that was, like a shadow box poster. But
okay.
Then I walked up, and it was just a normal poster. And so for me, it was a weird poster, but I think I was just, like, having a weird day. And so
gotcha.
I thought there was a hole in the wall, and then they put the poster in the hole, but it was just the wall.
That's freaky.
That's why I picked that question.
That's really freaky.
I don't remember what the poster was for, which really takes away the effect of it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. There are a lot of weird ones around. Was it intentional at all, or were you just like zoned?
I was. It's midterms.
Yeah.
I was zoned.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Is there a reason you put that question?
Oh, there are so many weird posters around. Were you near campus this summer at all? I know earlier you mentioned Montana, but
Montana was like 5 days.
Gotcha.
The rest I was here.
Gotcha. So there were a couple I saw this summer in the Medford Somerville area that were really weird. There were these ghost posters that I don't, let me know if this starts ringing a bell, but cartoons of ghosts, people dressed as ghosts, things like that, with just like a QR code and an existential question. It was just like a ghost on a swing and the question, you know, something to the effect of like, how do you keep going knowing that one day you'll be forgotten?
Oh my God.
And then a QR code. And that's like, and that's the entire poster. And there were a series of them. They all had different questions. They all had different like cartoons on them. They were all strange, and you scan the QR code, you get taken to this website that talks about the project. It's in a number of different cities. You can fill out Google Forms answering questions like these and then see other people's answers to questions like them.
Oh,
it's a lot.
I guess that's an idea.
Yeah. I was talking with someone about like whether we thought it was a whole group of people, whether we thought it was just like two roommates that were really going hard on this whole thing, because like there were 4 or 5 major American cities, mainly on the eastern seaboard, that are a part of this project, and so we thought it could have been just a couple people vacationing around, or is it a larger movement, or what the heck is this, you know?
Did you fill out the questions?
I did. There were more online. I did not read much of the other answers, and I probably spent less time on the website than I should have. But it was weird. It was a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. That would have made me uncomfortable in the way where I felt like they were going to find me.
Valid.
Yeah.
The one thing that helped me there was it was like Google Forms and stuff. And so...
Or so you thought.
Or so I thought. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It was websites that were stealing my identity that were made to look like Google Forms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens to the best of us.
Absolutely. And then... one of the comedy groups, maybe TFL, recently had a series of posters that are just completely unrelated to each other. There's like some that are actually for the event itself, and then some that are just like a bear and a QR code. There's one that has a poorly drawn cartoon of a woman, and it's just like, have you seen this woman?
That's
and
awesome.
A list of grievances and then a QR code.
That's awesome.
It was great, but they all take you to the same event page. I don't know. People go off with posters, and I'm really here for it.
I saw one that I thought of while you were talking on my walk. I have to trek from Minor, which is at the top of the memorial steps,
okay,
to 200 Boston Ave, which is 0.8 miles away, twice a week.
Serious elevation loss on that hike then.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a nice downhill jog for a while if I'm running late. But I passed a poster, or it's like one of those yellow diamond things that's like a street sign.
Yeah, yeah.
And it said Tasmanian Devil Crossing. And I found that exciting because I didn't know if Tasmanian Devils are real or only in Looney Tunes. And I still don't know, and I didn't look it up, but I saw it.
I think they're real. Don't think
they might be in Medford now.
Whoa.
Because there was a sign.
Whoa.
It was a paper sign, so I wouldn't say it was like super trustworthy, but
yeah,
there was a sign.
Okay. I mean, it also could just, like, someone could have a Tasmanian devil as a pet, and that could be the sign for that specific animal.
That sounds true.
Do you know what you would name a Tasmanian devil if you had one?
No. I don't know what a Tasmanian devil is.
Valid.
I don't know what it looks like.
On this strange, funny, and kind note, do you have a memory of a strange, funny, or kind thing a stranger has done for you? This is my favorite stories come from this question.
Yes, and it's too related. So it's so...
Whoa! Cool. Awesome.
So I was... So, Tufts Wilderness Orientation.
Yeah.
Which you and I went to training for, has training at the Lodge, which is this cabin that Tufts owns in New Hampshire, and it's super cute, and we go there, there's like 100 of us, and we're very loud and rowdy for like 5 days, like,
yeah,
all over this. How big would you say?
We established earlier in the show, I'm not good at estimating things.
Okay. I don't know how big an acre is, so that's the problem that I'm having.
I once read someone who was very witty that said their grandmother told them an acre is about the size of a parking lot, and then like 3 years later we're like, wait, parking lots are all sorts of different sizes. Maybe a 2-acre property. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. So it's got a big lawn.
Yeah, we sleep outside, yeah, on the big lawn for... So basically the description I'm trying to give is like the worst neighbor you could ever have.
Yeah.
Where we're like very loud at night. There's like 100 of us. We like take the streets by storm on like runs and going to swim in this river. And I was on a walk during training during our quiet time, and I wanted to like be alone. And so then I was walking past this guy sitting on his front porch with like another guy. And I feel like in New Hampshire, it's very iffy if a man yells at you from his porch.
Yeah.
Like you're not really sure where that one's gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
And he yelled at me, and he was like, hey, and I was like, oh, okay. I took out my headphones, and I was like, hey, and he was like, are you staying at that, like, at the big Tufts thing? And I was like, oh, yeah, we're training for wilderness orientation, and I was like, oh, he's gonna be mad, because we're so loud, and he was like, oh, well, you see all these bikes that I have out front? And I was like, yeah, he was like, those are just for you guys, because I know you guys stay there. Like, none of them are chained up, so if you ever need to, like, go into town or anything, like, please tell everyone to just use these bikes. Like, please don't steal them. I just have them out here for you guys, because I know you're college students and might not have a way to get into town.
Whoa.
And I was like, that's so kind.
And yeah.
Like, he was like, yeah, I keep them out year-round just because I know you guys are always here doing different things. And, like, it just, like... completely warmed my heart, and I was like, this, yeah, is so wonderful, and you're so awesome for that. And I like it could so easily be a situation where you're like, oh, these darn kids, like, mm-hmm, being loud and keeping me up at night. And instead he was like, here's bikes for you, and I trust you not to steal them, and so I'm not going to chain them up. It was, that's awesome,
incredible.
Yeah,
I, yeah, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
The people who I have witnessed around the lodge are all, like, super rad. All of the people that, like, live there year-round.
Yeah.
This summer, I don't think this happened last summer for wilderness orientation, but this summer there were some kids right across the street that, like, prime time set up a bake sale right as we were on probably, like, our third or fourth day of training. Everyone was super exhausted looking for sweet treats and stuff like that, and we got to go across the street. The carrot cake was very good, or they were like carrot cake cupcakes or something.
Oh,
like,
that's
that
awesome.
But I, yeah, there are a couple of people who live up there year round that are just radical, and I had not heard about this man and his bicycles, but that's super cool.
He made me really happy. Yeah. He, like, made my whole... It was, like, it was also, like, third day of training, like, ready to leave.
Yep.
Like, been sleeping on the ground for 3 days. And then it was like, oh, you're a kind soul. I'm not going to use your bike because my body hurts, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is... I was thinking of that as you were telling the story. We are exhausted during training. We are actively doing things between about 7 a.m. and 10 or 11 p.m., every day, and are just, oh, it's great. It's a lot of fun. There are magnificent people there, as we have talked about,
yeah,
multiple times. But yeah, very.
And some
tiring
of those experience. Magnificent people wake up an hour before we're supposed to wake up and run like 15 miles,
which is insane. Which it's, like, it's, so much power to you, honestly. Crazy. We, yeah, got a couple of marathon people, and they're awesome, but. Oh, yeah. I need that sleep.
Yep.
I when I'm there, I need that sleep. I'm curious. I think there's only one question on the list that's not a question. It's just a direction, which is go on a tangent about something you've been obsessed with or interested in recently. I believe you picked that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything locked and loaded or ready to go for that?
I don't have it locked locked and loaded, but I have three or four things that came up, which is why yeah. I picked it.
Incredible. So, any or all of them?
The first one is a bedtime routine. I didn't know that you could, like, sleep better if you had a bedtime routine. And then I was telling my housemate that, and she was like, yeah, everyone knows that. And I was like, well, I didn't. And so I started having a bedtime routine, like, the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Where I just brush my teeth, and then I go back to my room, and I read my little book, or I do the little New York Times crossword, and then I go to bed. And
the mini or the full-size crossword?
Full.
Gotcha. So you're serious, then?
Serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a, like, 340-day streak that I broke Whoa. During tube training and during trips.
I mean, that's understandable, because you don't hardly have service during that time.
No, it sucked a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That is, A, insane dedication. B, yeah, bedtime routines are really cool. That was, I don't think I've mentioned it on air, but I think I talked about it last time you and I talked, which is I've been doing this thing where I'm trying to either make or break a habit each month. And one of them was just having a routine when I wake up and when I go to bed. And I need to kind of get back into that a little bit. But it has, having the set routine for my dental health, maybe this is TMI, but like brush, floss, mouthwash, sleep has helped me, I think, both go to bed and like, I don't know. It's nice because when you fall into a habit like that, you don't have to think. You just, like, do the next thing, and then you're asleep, and you none the wiser on how you got there.
Yeah, I would say I need to put a heavier emphasis on brushing and flossing, because I maybe couldn't tell you the last time I flossed my teeth.
Mm. It's
bad. But I always go to the dentist, and they're like, wow, you're doing such a good job flossing. And I'm like, oh, no way. That's so cool. You're so crazy.
I have feelings about the dentist.
That it's not necessary?
No, not that it's not necessary. I think it's important. I think it's a good thing. I just feel a little cheated by the fact that they're the only doctor we have active homework for, in my opinion. And then I go there and I feel like I take all right care of my teeth. I get chided a lot and chastised for not being just that a little bit more. And then I know plenty of people. I'm sorry, Hannah, but my sister, when we were growing up, she ate junk food and did not brush or floss, and she had perfect teeth all the way through, and I'm on, like, my sixth cavity right now, despite doing my darndest to keep them clean. But that's all right.
I would argue, in favor of the dentist, all doctors give you homework, and some of them you just don't listen to.
That's fair.
Your normal doctor gives you health and well-being homework.
Yep.
And any other doctor I've ever had has given me homework, like physical therapy, like normal therapy. Like, they always give you, like, little, like, do that.
True, true.
Yeah.
You've brought back the part of the physical that's like, do you drink enough milk? Do you exercise enough? That's a good point.
They constantly ask me if I have 3 to 5 servings of veggies a day, and I'm like, I don't know if I have 3 to 5 servings of food a day. Like, that's so, like, they want you to eat so much food during a day.
That's the funniest response to that I think I've ever heard.
Like, that's just a lot. They're like, 3 to 5 servings of veggies, and then, like, also they want you to have milk, and also non-soda beverages, and I don't know what that means.
I think it's just water. Yeah. I think it's just water.
Why can't they say water?
Well, where I was going to go is I think the level of hydration that doctors expect you to have is beyond human.
I'm there.
You're there?
I'm there.
Okay.
Like 4 to 5 liters a day there.
Whoa.
This summer. I've been off of it lately, but it's doable.
I mean, I was going to go on to say I have probably 2 to 3 liters a day and I pee all the time. But serious respect for 4 to 5 liters.
Well, I was just bored during work, and I was like, if I drink more water, I pee more, and then I don't have to be there.
That's so relatable.
Yeah, it was good for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had a coffee machine, like for free on my floor where I was interning this summer, and it could do tea and it could do hot chocolate. And I'm not a coffee drinker, but I am a tea and hot chocolate person. And I'm becoming a tea person. But part of the reason I've become a tea person is because I got to do that this summer.
Yeah, that sounds true. My boss would always have. There's another girl who kind of worked under my boss, but not really. She worked in a different lab. And so she would always make him coffee. And I would, there's no chance she's listening. So I think I can tell this secret and it won't get back to her. She would make my boss coffee and he would let her and he would be like, yeah, make me coffee. And then he would take it and he would dump it in the sink because apparently she made like the worst coffee in the world. God. But you didn't want to make her feel bad because she was being super nice by making it for him. So he was like, yeah, thank you so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not a horrible secret. I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't want her to know.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But a sweet thing that your boss was doing in his own way.
Yeah.
I, on a related note, just because I know that if my dad's not listening live right now, he'll listen later. he was always emphatic that I should work 8 hours a day. And I just want to, I did. I did also drink tea and go to the bathroom a fair amount because of it. But I, you know,
yeah,
I got that in there.
Yeah.
Both can coexist.
Yes. And also if work's on your mind while you're peeing and drinking tea, you're still working.
You're
cogitating.
Can you elaborate on that word for me?
No, because I'm not sure if I used it right.
Gotcha. But yeah, no, you're cogitating?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a word we can't say on the air.
That's a good point. I think we probably get. Yeah. Okay, so that was somewhere in there was your first tangent.
Oh,
I forget where it started.
Bedtime routine.
And then dentists and then hygiene and then peeing.
We're there.
Yep. And while we're on second grade humor, would you like to tell your joke?
Yeah.
Incredible.
What's brown and sticky?
What?
A stick.
Whoa! That's a good one. That's a really good one.
What's your joke?
How do you get a tissue to dance?
I know, but you can tell me.
Put a little boogie in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
So true. I got Wilder Dinner with my freshmen this year. The Wilder Dinner being the event where a wilderness orientation group, gets together at one of the dining halls and reconnects for a little bit. And they're all sick right now, which was not on my radar, but apparently I think something is going around the freshman class.
Respiratory syncytial virus. It's so bad. It's at epidemic levels in the U.S.
Really?
My professor sent us an email about it because he had it. And it's like a once a week class and he canceled class.
Crazy.
He's like, I can't give this to you. Maybe they have that, but they could just have like campus cough too.
Gotcha. it sounded more like campus cough, but maybe. That professor doesn't sometimes teach epidemiology, does he?
He does.
Gotcha. Very cool. Very, very cool. Do you have something in mind for something you've realized since coming to college?
Oh, maybe we play a song.
Let's play a song.
Cogitate on that.
It's important to cogitate. Do you have a preferred song? For sure. This is Roll the Dice by Arden Jones.
Me feel
All right. So we've decided that we're gonna trade this question back and forth, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, is something you've realized since coming to college?
There are a bunch, and there are. I put this question on here because there have been a bunch, and a lot of it, for me, has just kind of been realizing all of the things that adults say, or like when you'd watch a comedy sketch about a uniquely adult thing, not in a dirty or inappropriate way, but just in my example, is the amount of times you have like 30 minutes and nothing specific to do in those 30 minutes.
Brutal.
And you don't really want to go home because it's a little too far of a walk away, but you don't really have a place to be and maybe more broadly, you've got to fill your own time, and that's crazy.
An impossible task.
It's an impossible task. And like, not to say that we didn't do that as kids or in high school, but not to the same level, where like in college most of your day is free and you've kind of got to choose the things that you want to do in it, and that's really cool, but also sometimes you've got, you know, 32 minutes before your next class.
Yeah, I will say that's why this year and last year I have loved living with people who I love.
Yeah.
And I can just be like, if I really can't think of something to do, I'm just like, hey, yep, do something.
It's awesome. Or like, this semester is the first semester that I think I've really made an effort to be out of my room for like most of the day. And that has led me to running into a lot of people and having, as we called it earlier, time confetti from our friend Lizzie.
Maybe also from Lizzie's friend Sydney. If we're doing the true chain of connection. I think it belongs to Sydney.
Gotcha.
But
the concept of time that you did not expect with a person that you did not expect to see. The other day I walked into the CC, just the campus center, just thinking I'm probably gonna see someone here that I know, and I've got 8 minutes and I need to kill. And it was great. I caught up with someone that I hadn't talked to in a little bit.
I have, me and some of my friends have a theory about the CC, and it's that you go to the CC to be perceived. And you go to Tisch to study.
That's so true. Yeah. That is very true. And that's why going to the CC can sometimes be a kind of scary thing to do, or a thing that you get a little intimidated by, because broadly speaking, I do not wish to be perceived, I would say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Day-to-day life, that's not the goal. Daisy, what is something that you've realized since coming to college?
Something that I've realized since coming to college that I think I knew in high school for like a semester is that you can just act on your friend crushes and be like,
yeah,
hey, I want to hang out with you. Do you want to hang out? Which I'm now realizing I did with you, I think, because we saw each other at a homecoming game. And yep. I was like, oh my God, can we just be friends? And then you were like, yeah. And then I did it with a bunch of people from Two Staff this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then most recently, I did it with, do you know, well, can I use names?
First names, I think, are fine.
Okay. Do you know Tess in your year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know a Tess. We'll assume it's the same one.
Yeah. She's on club soccer with me, and she's really cool and really sweet. And then she has a bunch of friends who are also really cool and really sweet.
Yeah.
Who I've just kind of met tangentially. Mm-hmm. And so then on like Wednesday, I was like, or we planned this a long time ahead of time, but I texted them and I was like, do you guys want to come over and like carve pumpkins at my house and hang out, which is a fairly involved activity with people you just don't really know, and then now we're friends.
That's
and
awesome.
So I just like the idea that you can, like, it's definitely a self-confidence thing where like freshman year of college I was like, oh, if I ask them to hang out, like, they'll say no, but like,
yeah,
then like once you just start asking them to hang out, they always say yes, because they're not going to say no. That's mean. They just won't text you back later. Like, you can just go once and have an awkward, like, oh, I guess they don't have a friend crush back on me, and then you just aren't friends, and that's fine.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's such a great point, and that's also, that is a thing that I've realized this year as well, especially now that we're kind of, it could be a kicking a dead horse to say we're fully post-COVID now, but we are fully post-COVID now. Or at least, I don't know. I think it helps.
I don't know.
Yeah. But campus is certainly a lot different than it has been.
Campus is probably post-COVID.
In the past. And that there's, I don't know, there's a lot of freedom this year. And yeah. I really like that. And that's another thing where just like, you can do what you want. You're an individual person that's got, honestly, as much power as you want to believe you have, you know? So like, go be cool.
Yeah.
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 Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Let's dig into another question.
Okay.
What's a restaurant nearby you like?
Sugidama.
Where is it?
It's in Davis, which is like a mile away from campus.
Yeah.
Maybe. A mile away from the further ends of campus. And it's has like ramen and sushi and maybe other things that I haven't gotten.
Gotcha.
But I normally, like if you ever asked me like, what do you want to eat? It would not be sushi. It would be almost anything except sushi. And then we went there for an environmental engineering like department dinner with one of our professors.
That's
super
cool.
Took us all out on Tufts dime, and I was like, oh, this is awesome for me.
Arts and sciences would never.
No, they wouldn't. No. Well, there's also 12 people in my major in my year, so it was pretty easy to do. Like, six of us could make it, and we did it. But, yeah, we went there for that, and it was really good. And then I went there for my birthday, and it was really good. And that's all I have to say about it. Highly recommend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Have you been to American Flatbread in Davis Square?
No.
It's good.
Is that the place with pin bowling?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, my housemate went on a date with her girlfriend there, like, early in their relationship. And that was really cute, because it was like, oh, you're going bowling. Like, that's silly.
Mm-hmm. Have you gone candlepin bowling? Are you...
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's the same.
Okay.
I just...
I'm not very good at the normal
Neither
one.
Am I.
It's hard to be.
It's one of those things that I think people just expect you to be good at.
Yeah.
Bowling.
It's like, oh, you grow up and suddenly you're good at bowling. But no. Like, it still goes in the gutter.
Yeah. Objectively, it does. I need the rails.
I do need the
rails. I'm okay to say that.
And that big slide thing that you, like, drop it down the slide and then you can, like, direct it somewhere.
I haven't heard of this.
It's like a... It's literally a slide.
It's just
like two poles kind of going down in a slide, and you just drop the ball. It's for like children who can't like
get
the momentum behind them to like throw a ball that like weighs a lot. But like it also helps with aim.
I could have used that between the ages of 6 and 8, probably. 6 and 11.
6 and 21.
6, 10 and ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you go over to like the Picante and Tasty, that side of the hill much? Or are you more a Davis person? Or
I am very pro Davis just because my house is like a 10-minute walk from Davis, which is very nice for me. And it's probably also a 10-minute walk to like Tampa Picante.
Mm-hmm.
But that feels less like off campus than like going all the way into Davis.
Totally.
Yeah, but I'm a huge proponent of Somerville Public Library for studying, where you can go in Davis.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's
beautiful.
Warm. Like, you can't go on the weekends, which is unfortunate, but I have... Or you can't go except Saturday morning, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's closed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, very calm, very nice. They have lots of seats and lots of chargers and, like... Or, like, outlets.
Yeah.
It's good. I recommend it for final season because then all the Tufts places are like full.
Packed.
Yeah.
Just, often Tisch is not full. I'd say broadly Tisch is not full. Final season.
Every seat.
Every seat.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Until midnight.
Yeah.
Every day.
Terrifying. Have you ever, what's the latest you've been in a library or like a study space?
If it has to be outside of a dorm room, then probably like 1 or 2 a.m.
Oh, God.
And then in Stratton Hall last year where I lived, there were these little study spaces that I was in until like 3 a.m. one night. Often I am not up that late. It is only final season. I have not pulled an all-nighter yet in college for the purpose of getting work done.
Have you done it for other purposes?
I don't... You know, I said that. I don't think I've pulled an all-nighter in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the latest you've been at a study spot?
Like, not late at all, which is why... Because I know that they, like, extend the hours for the library, like, to, like, 2 or like 5 a.m. depending on the the day or something during final season. I'm like, who is there? Like, who is staying that late? Because I'll go to bed at like 11 and I'm like, yeah, I've learned everything I'm going to learn for today. That's it. I'm full. Like,
I'm laughing because it's so relatable.
Yeah.
Often it'll be 10 or 11 p.m. and I'll just be like, at this point, it's no longer my fault.
Yeah.
At this point, I've put in my hours. I've put in my time. It's sleepy time.
No, I'm huge proponent of like, it's better to get the 8 hours of sleep before the exam than study before the exam. But I'm also someone who prepares way ahead of time for the exam so I can get the 8 hours. So I'm kind of...
Power too. That's best of both worlds, I feel like.
It's kind of annoying of me to say.
I don't think so. I think it just means you've got your stuff together.
Yeah. Sure.
And we're all working there. We're all working in that direction.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you have a favorite on-campus study spot?
I'm a huge Joyce Cummings Center fan.
Yep, the JCC.
The JCC is very good, or at least last year, there were always seats there.
Yep.
And now there aren't, because all the classes started being there, which is too bad.
Yeah.
But I always see someone I know. I'm very, very into natural light when I'm studying. I need to feel the warmth of the sun on my face, and the JCC is perfect for that.
The JCC is perfect for that. The SEC is pretty good for that. The
SEC
Science and Engineering Complex, is that what it is?
Too cold. The lighting is cold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
I decided the other day that for all of the things that are horrible with it, I really like the building within a building approach that you find at some colleges. I think it is adorable. It's a waste of space. It's bad, but it's pretty.
Yeah.
And that is present at the SEC, which I very much enjoy.
Yeah.
But I hear you about like the big windows in the Joyce Cummings Center. They're beautiful.
And they have little seats, and you just sit there, and you're like, And there are rooms where there's windows on both sides, and you can sit in the corner and be surrounded by windows.
Mm-hmm.
Ideal.
And just, like, a lot of those are on high floors, or at least there are some on high floors, and you get the, like, beautiful Boston skyscape. Yeah.
It's an incredible building. They did a really good job with it.
They did.
Yeah. Absolutely. I honestly didn't know they were building it until it was done. And then I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Where'd this come from?
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's when, like, you haven't been following an artist you like for a while, and then they drop music, and you're just like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yep.
I'm happy today now.
Yeah. Good work, Tufts.
Absolutely. Good work, Tufts.
Yeah.
It's incredible that you didn't know it was going up until it was up.
I think I thought it was just part of the, like, T-stop. And then it was like covering for the T-stop that was 6 to 7 floors high.
Mm-hmm.
Happens.
Yeah, hey, sometimes a lot of people want to get on the T.
Yeah.
Just entirely too many.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
We are toward the end of our show.
Okay.
If you have any special outro, then I invite you to say anything that you would like to say. I also want to know, when do you think the Green Line's going to be done? Is that soon?
Post-graduation for me. I'll never see it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For your sake, I hope you're wrong. And it is pre-graduation, and you get to be on the Green Line. But
I have no desire.
Okay.
It's been soured for me by years of disappointment.
By years of setbacks and delays.
Yeah.
And an abnormally large parking garage that turned out to be a study space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yep.
Yeah. Watch out for bears.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good one.
And listen to good music.
Both of those are very true.
Yeah, that's all.
I think that's all you really need to live a good life. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Oh, awesome. We will go to our final song in a second. In the meantime, this has been Elephant Loaf. You've been listening to Luke and Daisy. And you are also listening on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Tune in next week. Just tune in. Just broadly speaking. You have a...
Dealer's choice.
I'm sorry. I've been obsessed with this recently. I've probably brought Noah Khan up too much, but this is stick season.
As you promised me that I was more than all the miles combined, you must have had yourself a change of heart like halfway through the drive, because your voice trailed off exactly as you passed my exit sign. Kept on driving straight and left our future to the right. Now I am stuck between my anger and the blame that I can't face. And memories or something, even smoking weed is not replaced. And I am terrified of weather, cause I see you when it rains. Doc told me to travel, but there's COVID on the planes. And I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas. And I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks and one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do. So I thought that if I piled something good on all my bad, that I could cancel out the darkness I inherited from Dad. No, I am no longer funny, cause I miss the way you laugh. Once called me forever, now you still can't call me back. And I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas. And I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now you're tire tracks and one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do. Season of the sticks, and I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas. And I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks and one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do.
Figures dance around and around to drums that hum.